resources to strengthen the economy like China and South Korea did. But then I think there's pressure from Western influences to liberalize their government, which then they like took off all of these importing and exporting taxes to, you know, be a part of this globalizing economy or whatever. So that's kind of part of the reason we're at this point. So yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Didn't know this part.
There's a lot of really messed up things for sure. Yeah. Like in that arena too.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. But I'd say that not a solution, but something we should be mindful of is even reducing the amount of thrifting that we do.
I agree.
I need to stop thrifting because it's at that point where I agree. I'm just feeling like I'm getting greedy because I'm like, ooh, there's going to be, maybe if I find something, then I can add more stuff to my closet, into my life that will make me happy.
And
I don't think, and especially with the goal of trying to be sustainable, it's that they're not correlated, being sustainable, thrifting, or just buying too much clothes in general. But
I agree, because being sustainable only works if you're not throwing stuff away after you're consuming so much, you know what I mean? So
yeah, even buying a Halloween costume this year, I did buy fairy wings and elf ears and like silver beads, which are just pieces of plastic from a factory in China that I will eventually throw out. And so I'm reconsidering a lot of my shopping habits lately, and I think I'm gonna try to wear the same Halloween costume for a while, because usually I just try to put together pieces what I had before, but I think this year I just kind of realized of how much do I really need this.
It is very much like kind of something that we're very conditioned to being used to, is just this whole overconsumption and just feeling the expectation to, you know, be on top of the trends or like always wearing something interesting or cool or something like that. But when you really take a look at it, it's like the harm versus the good is just not weighing out properly. I still totally struggle with that, and I hate that I do, but I do kind of treat thrifting as a hobby. Even like I'll be like, oh, like let's just go thrifting, you're hanging out with your friends, like let's go thrifting. And it feels so nice to, you know, find something really cool in this sea of other things. But yeah, I think it's definitely something to think about, like how often you do it and what kind of clothes you're buying.
Yeah.
Like, how long is this going to last me?
Especially with all the micro trends as well. Mm-hmm. It feels like our cycle is just speeding up of how fast can we get onto the next trend and buy the next item. And it feels like you're excluded. Like, it's social exclusion if you can't, like, wear the coolest outfit and be up with the trends. I think now it's like ballet flats, Mary Jane's, ribbons, and then it just keeps going and switches even faster and faster than I can even remember now. And it's just going to reflect in fast fashion and thrift stores, and we're just going to have more pileups, more clothes to Africa.
And it's not just Africa, like there's other countries too. Like I think global south, like a lot of countries there too are just getting so much of our waste, which is like a whole other topic to get into. But it is really, yeah, there is a spectrum of overconsumption, and I think although some people treat thrifting as kind of an exception to that, it can definitely be included in it as well.
Yeah, I'm shopping addiction. I'd say thrifting addiction could be something as
well.
Even though it's not.
I was kind of feeling that last time we were shopping. I was like, oh my God, it feels so good. But it's, you know, it's fleeting and it's not worth it. And
if you can't leave the thrift store without buying nothing, then.
Yeah.
I struggle with that because whenever I go, I always feel like I have to get something, which that is not good.
It feels like, oh, it's a little souvenir or something.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
But just a little trinket.
It's, these kind of mental things that I have that I definitely need to reconsider and think about how many objects I own, even in my house, in my life that I've owned. I'm pretty sure when we were nomads or something, humans only owned like 20 things to their name, maybe less, you know what I mean? It's really, at this point, it's not what we need at all. It's just want, and that is, you know, capitalistic culture that we live in.
Because now we need lockers. We need external lockers to store our stuff in.
Yeah, right?
So it's ridiculous. To that point. But no,
just the disparities in the world is like, dang.
But
I mean,
with overconsumption, especially for, I think, for, I'd say teenage girls especially. I don't know how on top of the trends guys are. I feel like theirs is more, a little more simple, mm-hmm. but still there. But girls especially, that they have to dress to impress, and they have to impress their friends and their partners. And just the impression that women always have to stay on top of the fashion trends, and branching out even to makeup trends and everything, and mm-hmm. thrifting the coolest items.
Women are definitely often targeted for, you know, keeping up with your appearance and trying to be the best woman, you know, you can be mm-hmm. with those kinds of things.
And it definitely ties into this with the micro trends as well, because mm-hmm. you want to be trendy and you want to be cool and you want to be on top of everything so everyone will like you. But
yeah,
it's
just focusing on this external validation that's going to keep the cycle going is very unfortunate.
Yeah.
And honestly, it does kind of disempower women as well, because when you're spending a lot of money and time on these things, like, yeah, that could have been spent on something else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, the moral of the story is build a capsule wardrobe. That's also something I'd like to mention.
Oh, my God. Sounds like a trend, too.
Yeah. You out there, you might have made a capsule wardrobe. I'm trying to build my capsule wardrobe, but it's just having...
Sounds like capsule wardrobe propaganda right now.
Capitalism wardrobe. But mm-hmm. it's just having a bunch of basics to keep, like a wool coat, white shirt, things like that that are timeless and that you won't have to throw out if you get a good quality one. But there's also an issue with individuality and self-expression for these mm-hmm. capsule wardrobes. But then again, I think I would just go, or I personally probably would start going to vintage stores after building
okay.
a capsule wardrobe. That would be my plan for
and
sustainability.
I have another note just to add. Is actually fixing clothes when there's holes or, you know, any kind of issue with them, or repurposing them.
Get crafty.
Like, learn how to sew a little bit. Like, you don't even need to learn how to sew that much. I have pants that are pretty much on the brink of falling apart. I sew them up every once in a while, and I, you know, it extends their life a lot longer, which is also more sustainable. So I think that's a good thing to learn how to do, or just... You know, I would love to make a full outfit, but not at that point yet.
Right. And I also would like to mention, because with thrifting, back to thrifting, I feel like when you buy high quality clothing, that the fit and the fabric and the stitching, of course, is nicer, but it's also more tailored to your body, I feel like.
Mm.
Because with thrifted clothes, I feel like it also doesn't fit or look as well as something that was high quality and made with good fabrics.
I agree, like good quality clothing, but also just another layer to add is maybe like locally sourced clothing.
Ooh,
you know, like fabrics are locally sourced, or a local business or something like that, where you, and maybe made out of recycled fabrics even. That's going pretty far, but you know, if you have the money for it.
Even in thrift stores, like looking for cotton and staying away from acrylics or nylon or polyester, especially because mm-hmm. first of all, they're cheap and they'll also break on you in 2 seconds after you wear in two wears.
And also, just because something is like high quality doesn't mean it was sustainably or ethically made. So just saying.
But that's hard to find.
I know. It's hard to find. I agree.
Because I don't know which country.
It's hard to consume in an ethical way, so maybe it's just not that ethical.
True.
I don't know.
I think maybe next time I want to mention, because on labels, you can always see on clothing labels where the clothing was mm-hmm. made from, and I'm wondering if the standards for working conditions are better in certain countries.
Yeah.
Because I recently, I shop from a store, I go to Simons, which is a Canadian brand. It's in North Van. It's actually quite nice. Their online store is amazing because the shipping is like after $50, and it's a very sustainable Canadian fashion brand too, because they actually rate pretty highly and are not considered fast fashion, even though they have pretty decent prices.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of Simons, and I recently got a pair. I just got a black blouse recently from them, and it was made in Mexico, and I've never heard of something being made in Mexico for some reason.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was my first time. I've gotten like Indonesia, China, other places, but I was surprised. So I want to research more a little later, but find out what maybe does that mean they're better working conditions there? Mm-hmm. What's the reason for different places of why we're making these in different places?
Yeah. Yeah, I think with the tag thing, just going off of that where you can see where it was made, I had an assignment actually in the same course that was talking about the Salvation Army dumping clothes into Africa thing. And one of the assignments was to actually track where our clothes, like just pick up a random t-shirt or something like that, find where it was made. And then from there, you can actually, like, you look up the company's like major, I don't remember exactly what the process was, but you look up like their major production areas and then where it could have gone from there. And then like, my t-shirt that I had that I just picked up out of my closet had gone to like three different countries before being shipped to Canada. And I think that's very similar for a lot of clothes out there too, which is crazy.
Yeah, something to be aware of. But yeah, I think that's pretty much the wrap up of our thrifting topic. We went definitely a little offhand, but I think it was more about clothing and sustainability and consumption just in general. I'm definitely going to try to consume less. I say this about every month and I fail it every month, but I will do this at some point.
Gotta be held accountable.
Yeah, and
it's just good. Learn more too about it. It makes you feel like, dang.
And starting young too.
Yeah.
I think it's best. You can start at any age to be sustainable, but I think that's a wrap.
Yeah, that's a wrap on that.
So we're going to do, I think, a little more music now. So the next one you'll be hearing is Munya's The Only One. And Munya's pretty awesome. She's from Montreal. And yeah, take a listen.
Je m'avance, je sens le dépôt qui va, qui s'accroche sous ma peau. in to Intravenous on Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. for music and talk radio about all things, all genders. Discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through an intersectional feminist lens, our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony. Intravenous, every Wednesday morning from 10 to 11, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours.
I sing the story. the fear of a fight?
You know I've been in search for better days. I just can't see it and I can't relate.
Is it the fear in your echoes? I can tell you a lie,
I feel ashamed.
But it might be coming out the sky.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, and you are tuning in to Slumber Party. I am DJ Star.
And I'm DJ Coco.
And the song that you just heard was High and Choking Part 1 by Ori, and she's from Montreal. And the song before that was Fortune Green by Coteri. And then before that was Pour Your Heart by Hildegard. And they're a duo from Montreal, made up of Helena Deland and Ori.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good. But We're going to, I think, do some of our last goodbyes here for
final for farewells.
Tonight. Farewells. DJ Star's got an essay to write in about four. She got 4 hours to write
got
it.
Got 4 hours. It's going to be good. But decided it's a philosophy essay, so I'm just going to be sitting there thinking for a bit, but we'll get there.
Think outside the box.
Yeah.
Think why.
Thinking so hard.
Think lots. But anyways, yeah, thank you so much for being here this week for Slumber Party. We are here every 6 to 7 on Tuesdays. Up next will be Revolution Rock, and then at 8 p.m. we'll be having Bit Coover with our music coordinator, Connor. So stick around. Yay. And yeah, we're just gonna exit out, do a little grand exit with a couple
final songs.
So this one you'll be hearing is the Gemmels, and it's their song Countryside. So it's kind of jazzy, actually. So take a listen and have an awesome day.
Bye, guys.
See you guys next week, Tuesdays at 6 p.m.